Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. Nick Theopoulou is my guest today, and he's written a book called 10 Stories About What Men Are Doing Well. So guys, did you know we were doing anything? Well, apparently we are. We're going to talk to Nick. He's got some ideas for ex-offenders along these lines as well. So, Nick Theopoulou, right after this, I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Hey everybody, remember you can always catch me at mathersrodney@yahoo.com. That's mathersrodney at yahoo.com. Send me some email. Hey everybody, and welcome back. My guest today is Nick Theopoulou. Nick is calling from Melbourne, Australia, and he is going to be talking with us about his book called 10 Stories About What Men Are Doing Well. I heard the story, the title of his book, and I wrote him back and I said, you know, I didn't think we were doing anything right at all, but apparently we are. Nick, welcome to the Journey of Hope.
Yes, hello. How are you today, Rodney?
Doing wonderful. Can you start by giving us just a little bit of background about yourself?
Well, I worked as a counsellor and I still do work as a counsellor in group facilitation and also in couples counselling. And I've been doing that for around about 30 years. So really, I've come across a lot of men and a lot of women and a lot of couples in that time. And I just found that one thing that I found with couples was that over a period of time, they lacked an appreciation for what one another did well. Mm-hmm. In fact, it was quite the opposite for a lot of people. They would find that they would focus on what their partner didn't do well, so it was no wonder that a lot of them actually ended up becoming divorced. So I thought it was very timely to write a book about what men are doing well.
Well, it's... It is timely, and I'm glad somebody did it. What's different about this book? Would this book tell us a little bit about what's different than other books? What's this about?
Well, I think what this book is about, and it was really epitomized to me by a fellow who came up to me last week saying that he had read the book, and he said to me, I don't normally read books, you know. He said, I actually don't have time. But I found with your book, I could read a chapter in 20 minutes. It was a simple story. There were normally only two characters, and the story made a point. And the particular point this fellow brought up that he really thought about with the book was a chapter which spoke about a fellow whose son had died of an overdose. And he hadn't seen this fellow for over 20 years, but the father of the son who had died got in touch with him and said, I want you to come and see me. And so he went to see him and he said, well, how am I going to support this fellow? And he decided all he was going to do was listen and not offer any advice. And that was like the point of the whole story, that often what people want from us is not to advise us, and if they do want that, they'll ask for it. But most often in situations like this, people just want you to be there with them, to know that you're supporting them. Mm-hmm. And there are a number of stories like this. The other thing is, I can remember giving a poetry reading about a year ago, and I just said, by the way, I'm writing this book, 10 stories about what men are doing well. And I had three women come up to me afterwards. And one of them said, I can't remember anything my husband did well. Another one came up to me and said, this book's a waste of time. And another one came up and said, you're very brave writing a book like this. Look, I can tell you what I have seen in the last 25 years is that there has been an enormous change in men. And you see it really, I would say fatherhood and the focus on fatherhood would have to be the story of the 21st century so far. Mm-hmm. And all you've got to do is sit in the cafe and watch the number of men spending time with their children in ways that they were not doing 25, 30 years ago. There's a much greater commitment to being a good father.
Other than the spending time with the children, what are some of the other things that we're doing right?
I can bring up the... have a little fiddle here in the chapter headings here, and I can tell you very briefly. Well, I can tell you now, a lot of men are finding out that basically they're okay. And the way that they normally find out is by listening to other men's stories. And often they will hear another man's story and says, well, and the man will say, gee, you know, life's a struggle for me. It's a struggle for them. But we're basically okay, and they find this out through the stories that they tell one another about their own lives. Mm-hmm. Now, everyone's got their own stuff to deal with. You don't need, you know, or you can find that out within 20 minutes of being with a bunch of blokes. You find out that, yep, we've all got stuff to deal with, but basically we're okay. And I have been astonished at the number of men through all income groups, through all professions, who actually don't feel very good about themselves. But if they really, and I've really found that in a good support group, they'll find out that, yep, they're basically okay, they've got a lot of stuff to deal with. Another thing is, I don't know what it's like in the United States, but certainly in Australia, you see whole convoys of men on bicycles. And what they're doing is they're riding for their own lives. I mean, these men's eyes smile because they want to be around healthier for themselves, for their partners, and for their grandkids. This is all new. I mean, I can remember a time when, you know, when you're 55, that was it, and you'd be dead within a couple of years. Mm-hmm. Men are saying now, I want to live longer. And indeed they are. I think the average age for men has gone up about 4 to 5 years in Australia. And certainly... there are a lot of men who value their health a lot more. That's just two. Oh, we've already spoken about mm-hmm. fatherhood.
Well, what about, you mentioned that you can still be a man and not a gay man and still embrace things like tenderness. We're doing that better too, aren't we?
Oh, look, absolutely, absolutely. You know, I mean, a lot of men are realizing that the women in their lives really are important, and the women in their lives have a life and an emotional life that needs to be supported. And I find that a lot of men, they will give up time, for example, to say work part time so they can take care of their wife. There's a story about this in the book, and men discover new ways of being tender, and in fact they have been very tender without really even thinking about it, but they I take my guidance from Romeo and Juliet, where Juliet actually teaches Romeo what it's like to love, and a lot more men are actually listening to their partners now, listening to their wives and saying, well, you know, what do you want from me? And the woman will say, I want this and I want that, and if the woman's clear enough, the man will do it. Often I find men are like lapdogs, you know, to say, just tell me what you want and I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of women respect this, and they are able to ask for what they want. And men can do that because that's why they got married in the first place.
Mm-hmm. 10 stories about what men are doing well. We're talking with Nick Theofilou. We're going to take a real quick break and we'll be right back after this. I'm Rodney Mathers and you're on the Journey of Hope.
In the sticks, tobacco country music mix. Ain't gotta live in no sticks, tobacco country. Tobacco country. Well, I don't care much for cows and such, and line dancing looks like it really sucks. Don't own a gun or want to freeze hunting deer. Can't stand the
Do you have some ideas about a good guest or a good topic for the show? Let me know, and I'll track it down, and we'll do it. You can catch me at MathersRodney@yahoo.com. That's MathersRodney at yahoo.com. Drop me a line. And we're back. We're talking with Nick Theofilou in his book, 10 Stories About What Men Are Doing Well. And he's also got some other cool stuff out there. You've got a DVD called Inside a Men's Group. What's that entail?
Well, it grew out of the constant questioning that I would receive from people who would ask me, what happens in a men's group? And I found, because I've started over 50 men's groups now, and I found that the more I tried to explain it, the less clear it became. And I remember, I think it was Bill Gates, he said, if you want to tell a story, give it to people in pictures. And I thought, well, that's a good idea. So I recruited about 40 men from the community, chose eight, filmed them over 40 hours, and edited it down to 50 minutes from memory. Mm-hmm. And it's a resource that a lot of our libraries use here in Australia. I've had a lot of orders from the United States, and even as far afield as Iceland and Finland, which was a story I always liked to tell, because I never imagined Iceland and Finland having any interest in men's groups at all, but there it is, and South Africa, by the way. Mm-hmm. So really, the film was to show people in pictures what happens, the sort of things that men talk about in the men's group, and there is no mystery. There is no mystery. But I found that what a lot of women said to me was, I did not know men could talk like this. And wow. Indeed, men can. Give them the space, and if they feel safe, They'll talk about the most important stuff that ever happened to them.
Interesting.
Now, in fact, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, please.
Well, I hark back to as recently as last week, where I wrote on the board, what have you done well this week? What didn't you do so well? One fellow walked in and he looked at it and he said, I didn't do anything well this week. And then he began to weep. And he wept and he wept and he wept. This fellow is a veteran from Afghanistan. He said, Afghanistan taught me that I had to do a job, whatever it was, put your feelings aside, but you've got a job to do. And he said, I can't do it anymore. You know, he's back in the community, he's got quite a responsible job, and he's being asked by his work, just get on with the job and shut up and do it. And this fellow is saying, I don't want to be like a lot of my fellow soldiers from Afghanistan who I know have suicided. That's where I'm heading. I need to talk about this stuff. That's where a men's group is so powerful. Mm-hmm. I've often had men who have said to me, I had a choice tonight, either jump off the bridge and suicide or come to this group. And they came to the group. I think this is one of the... A men's group is so simple. It is so simple, and yet it saves lives and provides a place for men where they can go and talk about stuff that's really important. Now, that group, which only occurred last week, the whole dynamic of the group changed, and they all rallied to support this bloke. This is the sort of reason I do this sort of work, because it not only connects people, but it helps save lives as well. And, mm-hmm. Socrates said, the unexamined life is not worth living. Or a men's group is a sort of place where you can examine your life, mm-hmm. and be supported by other men and find the value in that. So that you don't, not only is that good in itself, but you don't go home and burden your partner with a whole lot of stuff that you don't really need to, because you've got other stuff to do at home, like spend time with her and maybe give her a summary. And she's got her own stuff to talk about when you get home. Don't you worry about that.
Yes, we know. One of the things that you talked about in one of your articles, I believe, and I really like this, I'd like to talk about this for a second, is you mentioned using a mentor. And I really like this idea. When does a mentor come in handy for a man?
Look, a mentor is someone who gives you the space to be who you are, who recognizes your talents, and is able to guide you in a direction to fulfill your talents. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can remember when I started on this journey myself, and this fellow said to me, "Your father's books are in you. All you've got to do is get it out." And I thought, what a lot of nonsense. But it was true. And often my father is here with me when I'm writing. And all it took was this fellow to say this to me, that send me on this type of journey. And we all have our own individual journeys. I've had groups of fathers and sons. And the men, the sons will learn that there are many ways to be a man when they hear the different stories that men have to tell. And in a sense, we mentor one another every day. People mentor one another every day because someone will say something and you say, "Ah, I can use that. I can do that." Mm-hmm. It's a matter of being awake. You know, a mentor is not just one person. You know, anyone can mentor. A child can mentor you. A child can mentor you to appreciate the beauty of nature, which we often walk past. But it's always the kid who will pick up the leaf, who want to talk to the cat, who want to spend time just sort of being on a swing. Children can mentor us too. It's not just older men. You know, the view of the mentor is normally the older man. But if you're awake to it, anybody on this earth can mentor you. It's a way, but you have to be awake to what they are offering you in terms of possibilities. Is this making sense to you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Very, very good advice, too, I believe. We're getting close on time here, Nick. Can you tell us how we find your book and your DVDs?
Well, if you go to, for my book, you just go to Amazon and type in 10 stories about what men are doing well. You'll find the book. And for $2.99 is the steal, I reckon. Go to Amazon. Type in 10 stories about what men are doing well, or you can type in for my DVD, Inside a Men's Group, and my name, which is Nick Theophilou, which I will hope you'll put on your webpage so that people can...
Most definitely.
Look, I think there's a lot of good we can do on this earth, and everyone's got their own place, and we can all learn from one another and do it on a daily basis.
Nick, this is some really interesting information. Nick Theophilou, 10 stories about what men are doing well. Nick, I want to thank you so much for being on the Journey of Hope today.
Well, Rodney, it's been my pleasure, and thank you very much.
We're going to take another quick break, and when we come back, more right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Hey, y'all. You know, there's 2 million people incarcerated in the United States of America, and there are finally some politicians at the national level that have figured out that if you consider those guys and their families and so forth, that that's a pretty hefty constituency to tap into. And so you're hearing some talk as we approach midterm elections about giving ex-offenders the right to vote from a federal standpoint. There are states such as Texas, where I live, where you get your right to vote back after your sentence discharges, and there are other states, but there are also some states that do not allow ex-offenders to vote once their sentence discharges. And it's just that mentality that, you know, the perpetuation of the punitive mentality once somebody has been convicted of a felony, it's just not right. So if you have a loved one or you are an ex-offender in one of the states where voting is not allowed after your sentence discharges, this would be the time to speak out. It's going to be an issue. Stand up, scream, write some emails to people, and see if you can't help get this thing turned around to where we all have that right to vote once our sentence discharges, okay? Hello there. I want to thank my special guest today, Nick Theopoulou, and I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.